When you think about organized religion, what comes to your mind? As a young adult, the word that came to my mind was hypocrisy. Because of that, I threw the church and all its religious trappings out of my life. But I later discovered that the church was never supposed to be that way. God intended for His church to be a place of authenticity and love, and for His children to live lives of integrity. Today, I want to share with you my journey, and together, we're going to learn how to live lives that are free of hypocrisy.
Thanks for joining us for this Wednesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip serves as our Bible teacher on this daily international discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy. Today, Chip continues his series, Stop Faking It, by shedding some light on the subject of hypocrisy. And he'll give us some practical ways to free ourselves from its tentacles in our life. Just before we jump in, let me encourage you to try using Chip's message notes while you listen. Chip's notes contain his outline, scripture references, and much more. They'll help you remember what you hear and share what you're learning. Just go to livingontheedge.org and click Listen Now. Well, if you have your Bible handy, open it now to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's join Chip for part 2 of his message, Why We All Hate Hypocrisy.
Two warnings for every Christian to heed. Number one, don't use people to satisfy your selfish, lustful agenda, especially with regard to human sexuality. If we had time to develop it, all those words I underline, immoral, impurity, greed, filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, they all do a word study on them. I have. They all have sexual connotations. Loving people is about giving and serving and wanting what's best and doing whatever it takes for their benefit. Lust is about taking and getting and using and abusing and grabbing and satisfying you. Love is about them. Lust is about us. And he says, if you're going to walk in love, you can't be involved in sexual immorality. That's why it's so tragic what we're seeing when we see people in ministry and people in churches living in sexual immorality, because lust, it's not loving. Whether you're single or whether you're divorced or whether you're married and some guy is coming on to you. When any man, anytime, anywhere gives you this line or insinuates that if you really love him, you'll go to bed with him, know for sure that he does not love you. He lusts for you. And he can be sweet, and he can manipulate, and he can make you feel very, very special. But what this is about is him and his lust and his desires, and you will end up used. If you love someone, you want what's best for them. If you lust for someone, you want what's best for you. And then notice the second warning is, don't let anyone deceive you into thinking that selfish, lustful, me-centered behavior is compatible with mimicking God and loving people. You can't compartmentalize. Following Jesus and sexual immorality don't mix. Following Jesus and being a greedy, self-centered, lustful person don't mix. Following Jesus and lying at work don't mix. Saying I love God and living according to my own selfish desires means I'm a hypocrite. And that's why I hated the church. And that's why I hated me. And that's why many of you hate the church and why you hate other people and yourself. And guess what? You're right in line with God on this one. He hates it too. Because it produces pain and damage and hurt. Well, he goes on to say, therefore, well, what should we do in light of this truth? Do not become partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but here's the good news, now you are light in the Lord. So here's a command, walk as children of the light. And if you're not sure what that means, it says, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The idea, walk in the light, you're a child of the light, you've got a new birth and a new identity. Walk in goodness, that means benevolence and caring and wanting to do good for others. Walk in righteousness, that means being holy and pure morally and in your thoughts and in your mind and what comes over the screen of the internet and what magazines and what books and what shows. Not some self-righteous, prudy holiness, but a winsome, pure holiness because your heart is clean and you love God. And then walk in truth. Not only externally speaking the truth and living the truth, but in your motives. And that little phrase, trying to please the Lord, The sense there is not that, like, trying real hard to please God. It's a word for testing or approving of metal. It's like taking a little bit of acid on metal and dropping it on to find out the level of purity. And then you put it on and you realize, oh, this is really pure. This is really good. The idea is proving or demonstrating. When you live in goodness and righteousness and truth, you are approving and demonstrating what is pleasing to God. And it produces awesome peace and goodness in your heart. Then notice what he goes on to say. He says, and do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. We're going to talk about that in a minute. For it is disgraceful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. God is saying to his people, you don't need to be curious about the darkness that goes on behind closed doors. It's disgraceful even to speak of them, let alone view them, let alone joke about them, let alone actually participate in them. Because it is such a contrast with who you really are. And so two applications flow out of this for every single Christian. First, don't participate in deeds of darkness. Don't be a hypocrite. Positively, do practice walking in the light. Ask yourself right now, does my speech demonstrate walking in the light or the deeds of darkness? Does my thought life and my sexual practice demonstrate walking in the light or deeds of darkness? Does my integrity with my spouse, my friends at work demonstrate walking in the light or the deeds of darkness? Does my commitment to my marriage and my children demonstrate walking in the light or the deeds of darkness? Is how I conduct myself at work demonstrate? You got it? Got it? You do remember the greatest act of hypocrisy that ever occurred. Do you remember this one? Ever. Remember? Happened right before Easter. One of Jesus' 12 close friends got a few guys with some torches, got a few swords, and here's Jesus in the garden. And here's Judas. Jesus, I'm your follower. I love you, love you, love you. Do you realize the implications of what it meant to greet a person with a kiss? What was Judas doing? He was coming to Jesus as his rabbi and teacher and communicating his love by his outward action of the kiss. And the actual kiss was a sign of betrayal, and everything he did externally actually betrayed Christ. And you know, I like to identify with different people in the Easter story. This is not one of my favorites. But you know what's really helped me to realize? When I say I love God, I love Jesus, and I walk in darkness, welcome to a fellow Judas, right here. And when you say you love God, oh, I know Jesus, I believe in God, and your lifestyle and your speech and your sexuality and your money and your motives are walking in darkness, welcome to the Judas Club. And see, this is why God so hates hypocrisy. In fact, he explains in the very next line, the devastating impact when I know what's right to do. Now, we're not talking sinless perfection. We're not talking about having it all together. We're talking about knowing what's right to do and living in willful disobedience. Notice verse 13, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. Literally, the word exposed here, when they're rebuked, when you see them for what they really are. For everything that becomes visible is light. I mean, it's like walking in a pitch black room and you get a flashlight. The moment you click on the flashlight, what happens? Anything the flashlight is focused on becomes visible. You see it for what it is. In the dark, you don't know what it is. Someone could tell you, oh, this is great, this is wonderful, this is powerful, you'll love it. You know what? The best sex is over here. You ought to try this. If you never tried this, give this, smoke this, try that. It's darkness, 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 darkness. Boom, someone turns on the light. You mean this could happen to you? You mean this is what will happen to your kids 12 years later? You mean this is what will happen to my body 5 years from now? You mean this is a psychological, oh my lands. When you take the light of truth, it exposes things for what they are. For this reason, it says, awaken, sleeper, arise from the dead and let the light of Christ shine on you. Two things happen. They're amazing. They're wonderful. They're just so powerful when Christians live in the light 24/7. When I live in the light and you live in the light, when we're not hypocrites, two things happen. Number one, when believers walk in the light, you know, mimic God, love people, they winsomely expose evil and sin as the ugly agents of death that they are. I had the privilege of this happening in my life. Exposed. I saw myself for who I was. We did not grow up in a Christian family, but my sister, somewhere in high school, I don't even know where it happened, she went to this college campus and met some group, I don't know, Campus Crusade for Christ. Maybe some of you heard of them. A group of real live Christians, you know? And she became a Christian. She didn't make any big deal about it. She didn't say anything. She didn't become a religious, quote, fanatic in our house. But I lived with this person who was only a year and 3 months older than me, which, you know, you would expect a little sibling rivalry. I mean, I've never lived under a roof with any person that I know of, apart from my wife, that has loved me so winsomely. She didn't say, stop doing this, do this, do. I didn't know even what happened to her. All I know, I'd come in from basketball practice, and man, I'd be dead and struggling. And she goes, and I'd go to the refrigerator. She'd go, go sit down, Chip. I'll fix you a sandwich. It's my sister. Hey, you want a Coke? Yeah. Hey, all my friends would be over. She goes, hey, guys, you want me to make you some popcorn? My God, my friends are going, man, who is she? She's my sister. You know, I'd be, you know, my homework and, you know, dragging my feet. Chip, can I give you a hand? Yeah, thanks, Punky. I'm telling you, I lived with this person that I just thought, someday I want to be like her. In fact, guys, can I take you very briefly to a place that your wives know not of? Male locker rooms in high school and college. Go there, come back quickly. The scuttlebutt in the locker room about my sister and her best friend, Punky, that's my sister's name, and Tammy are not the kind of girls you want to date. You won't get anything. They're the kind of girls you want to marry. They're the kind of girls you want to marry. And my sister's life was so impactful. It exposed my manipulation. I probably saw that I was such a chameleon because I was living next to this person that she acted this way with my folks, she acted this way in school, she acted this way with me. She was walking in the light, and it exposed me. I literally remember, you know when guys, when you're thinking, you know, I'm really going to do this thing, and you know, it's not like a gray issue, this is wrong, this is bad, and you know it, but it sure looks like fun, you know? And I decided, I'm going to do it, and I would think, but what would Punky think? Well, I would never want to let her down. You know what that's called? The power of walking in the light. That is exposing my ugly deception. And then the second thing happens is that when unbelievers see and interact with authentic Christians, the light of Christ shines upon them and it invites them to turn from the deception of sin and death and receive God's love and forgiveness through a relationship with Christ. When you walk in the light authentically, not perfectly, when you walk in the light in your home, when you walk in the light at work, when your kids see an authentic marriage where, yeah, you fight and then you make up, and you ask for forgiveness. When people see you living not hypocrisy, but a level and significant consistency empowered by God, it's like a light, that flashlight shines on them, and they begin to see, oh, Christians aren't a bunch of hypocrites. There may be a lot of them that are, but you're not. And the light of Christ shines on them, and they say, there's hope. I mean, I could find forgiveness. I could be loved. Do you now see why God hates hypocrisy? When I'm not walking in the light, instead of exposing the deeds of others in a winsome, loving, non-self-righteous way, I literally become a barrier to the message of life through Jesus. I become a blind guide, a whitewashed tomb. I was invited to a camp after my senior year. My scholarship in basketball, it's not like Ohio State and all these big schools wanted me to come play. They weren't looking for, you know, 5'11 guards that weighed 136 pounds. But there were some small schools that were interested, and my best deal was, you come make the team, we'll pay your way. And so a coach said, hey, there's 600 of the best athletes. They're going to be at this place. Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I'll pay your way. It'll really help you get better. That's why I went. And it was like, what have I done? When you walked in, they gave you a little Bible. I'd never read the Bible in my life. Then they give you this t-shirt, FCA, and something about Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, I'd never said Jesus' name out loud before. And I looked at this t-shirt, and I thought, I'm going to put this on. I am among Jesus freaks. Oh, my lands, what have I done? And so, I mean, it was like, they're going to try and brainwash me. These people are weird, you know? And so then every morning you're supposed to have 20 minutes where you open the Bible and have this little devotional time. 600 athletes on this big lawn on this campus, 599 had their Bibles open. And mine is shut. And I'm thinking, man, you know what? You're not going to manipulate me. I'm not reading that thing. But every day someone would teach a little bit out of the Bible, and it made sense. And it was like, hey, man, someone's reading my mail. I had no idea that, So by day number four, I open it. By day number five, we're out and you play all kind of sports. Etched in my memory, everyone's coming off the field. They're going in. The wide receiver for Atlanta Falcons at the time and the fullback for Illinois were walking off. And I'm this skinny little drenched in sweat guy behind them. And I'll never forget this wide receiver put his arm around in a very masculine way, this fullback. And they were talking issues of the heart. I never, ever in my life had heard two men masculinely share life and love authentically. And this fullback was going through some rough times I could kind of pick up, and then I could hear what this other fellow was talking to him about. And I mean, it was like just arm in arm, authentic love. And I still remember. I can't tell you how it works, but I remember walking behind him and going, I don't know what they have, but I want it. I don't know what it is, but I'm so sick and tired of playing games and being a phony and acting this way. I don't know what they have, but that's what I want. A day and a half later, I was in a room much like this, and that fullback sang the Lord's Prayer, and a guy got up on a chalkboard and he said, Christ died for all of you. He died to pay for your sin and your guilt. And then he rose from the dead to prove it's true. And you can be delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light by receiving him as your personal Savior. In fact, today, he's standing at the door and knocking. And if you will hear his voice and open the door of your heart today, he will come into your life and he will forgive you and cleanse you and he will take up residence and you will have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus. And the moment you pray, turning from your sin and asking him to be your Savior, the Spirit of God will come and live inside you, and he'll be with you 24/7. And he'll give you power, and he'll give you peace, and life will not be a rose garden, but you will have strength and the power and the presence of the living God every moment of every day. And by the way, the moment you would die, you will be ushered into the presence of God, not because you were a good person, but because on the basis of his work on the cross and forgiveness, you became a part of his family. And I'd like to say I prayed some big theological prayer, but I remember thinking, God, I don't know what it really means to be in your family, but I know I'm sick and tired of being a phony. And I want to ask you right now, whatever it means for Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, come into my life. And even as I was getting there, I realized, you know something, there's some stuff in my life that I probably can't play some sort of game with God. And I realized, you know something, this is what I need to do, and I'll get asked for the strength to take care of some of this stuff that needs to be cleaned up. Where are you at? Any fellow Judases here who say, oh, I love God. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. But if you did a little analysis, do you walk in the light? In your honest moment here today, you'd say, no, I'm not walking in the light. See, when you don't walk in the light, fellow believer, the message of Christ, the power of God, what was accomplished on the cross, is nullified. And instead of light coming through you that gives hope to others, you become a stumbling block. That's why this is so serious. Notice, as we turn to the final page, what he says. Where do we go from here? He says, therefore, be careful how you walk. The word careful, literally, it's the word see. See into your life. See, examine the issues of life with scrutiny. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, people who, you know, don't get it, but as wise men and then making the most of the time. There's a couple words in the New Testament for time. One word that means chronology and length of time. One that means time as in a ripe opportunity. That's this word. Some translations actually say redeeming or buying back the time. Why? The days are evil. The days are evil. People are teaching little kids to put on bombs and blow people up. People are drowning their own children. People are getting in planes and crashing them. People are giving total disregard to the children and to their marriages. We are living in a world that is evil. Like Christians, children, walk in love, mimic God, walk in the light so that you may expose sin for what it is and invite others into a relationship of hope and peace. So the word for believers is walk wisely. There's so much at stake. Huge. If there's ever a time for the church to be the church and for us as Christians to live like Christians, it's now. And there's a word for unbelievers. Awake, sleeper. Those of you that are kind of spiritually dead. That's the metaphor. Awake! Let the light of Christ this moment, today, shine on you. Cleanse your conscience. Give you assurance of heaven. Turn from the darkness. Enter into the light. And let it cleanse and fill, and let Christ come in today and give you new purpose and meaning and peace. You want to do that? Today's the day.
For many listening to my voice, today is the day. You want to know Christ. You don't want to be a hypocrite. The Spirit of God has spoken to your heart, spoken to your mind, and you would like Him to be your Savior. But you may not know exactly how. What do I do? Let me right now walk you through the process of receiving Christ as your personal Savior. First, I'm going to pray a prayer, and as I pray it, I'd like you, even if you're driving in your car, to pray along with me. If you need to pull off, pull off, but this is the most important moment in your life. Are you ready? If you want Christ, what you need to do is ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to come into your life and believe on what He's done on the cross. And if this prayer expresses the real desire of your heart, God will hear, and today will be a pivotal moment in all eternity for you. You can pray along with me. Dear God, I admit today that I have sinned and I fall short of Your glory. I ask You right now to forgive me and cleanse me from my sin. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, that He paid for my sin, that He rose from the dead on the third day, and that I right now ask You to come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord. I tell You that I turn away from my sinful lifestyle, and I ask You for the power to be the son or daughter that You want me to be. Thank You for coming into my life and giving me a brand new life in Christ. Amen. If you just prayed with me, tell someone you know what you've done. If you know a good Christian friend, tell them. If you know a pastor, tell him. And this week, make sure you get connected to a good Bible teaching church. Welcome to the family. God never promised it would be easy, but it will be awesome and it will be great.
If you just prayed with Chip, I hope you'll take a minute and call us at 1-888-333-6003. We'd love to talk with you and get a free resource into your hands specifically designed to help you get started outright on your new journey of faith. Or if you prefer, you can go to our website, livingontheedge.org. Just click the New Believers button to find that same resource. And best of all, it's absolutely free. We just want to say welcome to the family. Well, now here's Chip with a quick thank you.
I just want to stop and pause with a very select group of people. You're people that pray for Living on the Edge. I know because you write and tell me, and you're people who give financially to Living on the Edge. And as I have communicated the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God to salvation. And we know that when we share the gospel like this on a broadcast, literally hundreds and hundreds of people come to Christ. And so you're a part of that. And we have reaped, not because we're special, but because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. but I want to just celebrate that reward and thank every one of you who pray and thank every single person who gives to this ministry. People's lives will be different forever and ever and ever because of you. Thanks so much.
Do you wish you could hear Living on the Edge when it fits into your schedule? You can. For those of you who want to listen to Living on the Edge whenever and wherever you want, download the free Chip Ingram app. You'll find the Chip Ingram app at Google Play or the App Store today. We'll be with us again tomorrow when Chip continues our current series. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.